Hello. This is DJ Riles for Kicking It. I'm alone tonight, but I got tons of news coming your way. So first off, I just want to say that we had a bunch of soccer games, men's club soccer, men's soccer, women's club soccer. So I want to go over a couple of scores of those. The men soccer team played Menlo from Menlo Park in Palo Alto, and they tied 0-0. There was a handful of injuries, including Armando Dominguez with a torn MCL, so that's not good. I also heard that this was at the same time of the men's club game in St. Mary's, and the men's club team lost 3-1 to St. Mary's over in Moraga, so that wasn't too fun. I had played, and we had a pretty terrible first half, but really picked it up in the second half. We pulled a penalty, so we got a penalty for our first goal of the season, spring season, so that was good. Our defense kind of fell apart throughout the first half, and a lot of through balls were coming in, and I was taking shots every 1 or 2 minutes, so it was really difficult to pull it together for the first half. But after a quick halftime talk, we really got it together, and I think we really picked it up. It was a really solid game today. On Saturday, and it was just an overall good week for Dominican. I heard that they did well against the Santa Rosa Community College, so that's always a plus. According to Tottenham Hotspur's website, Alan Sherwood, the manager, is unsure of his Tottenham future. So we got a lot of unsure about futures in Barclays Premier League. So Andres Villas-Boas left Chelsea and is now at Russia and Zenit. So a lot of overall confusion almost in the Premier League. So also Arsenal really lost it against Liverpool, lost 3-0. Or a loss against Everton for the fourth place battle. They lost 3-0 to an Everton team that probably isn't the strongest. Really, really slow play from Arsenal really didn't help them out. They just weren't on their game. It was a pretty slow game, and Everton put three by. They were good goals. Romelu Lukaku on loan from Chelsea really hit a good one. You also had one from Gibson, who ran right through Arsenal. It was an overall poor game, to say the least. We also had a lot of Liverpool playing West Ham and barely pulled it through with 1-0. Liverpool is looking strong at the top of the table, first time in a while, actually. It's been a while since they've been on top of the table. I think the last time they won the actual league, Premier League, was in 1996. So they have a lot of room to work here, because they're a couple points up. It's really going to come from Man City, and it's going to be Man City and Liverpool in the race for the title. Man United is out of it, way down in seventh place. They are just way long gone. And then Barcelona, in other top of the table news, Barcelona's transfer, their transfer rules about buying and selling minors, they can't do it. Next transfer window, they, according to the FIFA, transfer ban on Barcelona will be 2 transfer windows for breaking rules of international transfer of minors. So buying or selling, or just selling, or just buying, a lot of people are confused on what Barcelona did. It was issues with the youth team that they had received the ban for. So really, really crazy, you know, this whole Neymar transfer thing. That wasn't it. That was not what Barcelona's getting fined for the transfer ban for. It was the international youth team. So, a lot of Champions League also. Eden Hazard doing well against Galatasaray. But however, there's a picture on the internet about the game after. It shows a ripped sock right around his ankles, which means there's a lot of dirty play in the game. I didn't see it personally, but it was a rough game. Chelsea did come out on top, but still, it was a rough game, and, you know, no one no one really is excited about that. PSG, also in Champions League news, doing really well. They are on top of the table for the France Ligue 1, followed shortly by Monaco. Both won their games over the weekend. PSG won 3-1 against Stade Rennes with two great goals. Zlatan Ibrahimovic was sitting on the bench that game, so Edson Cavani stepped up, scored two. Javier Pastore got one. It was a good game all around from PSG. And then we had recently the PSG played Chelsea and won 3-1. And that was a great one because Javier Pastore had one of the best runs I've seen in recent history. He dribbled all the way to the touchline, the goal touchline, juked two players, came back into the box and hit it with his weak foot, passed Pedicek. It was amazing. It was up there with someone you wouldn't expect with skill that you'd expect from one of the legends like Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. And he just dribbled through everyone and it was great. Canada is making a 2026 World Cup proposal. They have 11 stadiums in 10 cities, all with about 70 to 80,000 capacity. Now, Canada really wants to be serious about this. They have Vancouver, they have huge cities in Canada, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto. They have a bunch of popular places. I think that Canada really wants to get serious into soccer, and I think they just want a free into the World Cup because they haven't been in the World Cup for a while. So I think that in World Cup news, with Canada making a serious bid and a serious proposal for 2026, it would be easily accessible from all of North America because it's very close. It would be very affordable because of the numerous cities and stadiums. I think that Canada is putting a serious effort into their soccer program this year, or the upcoming years. Bayern tied Manchester United in their Champions League game, 1-1. Personally, when you have a team that clinched the league in 27 games in the Bundesliga out of all leagues, and then you have a 7th place team in the Barclays Premier League team, they just don't seem even. Like, if you were to say a 7th place team just tied the 1st place team who clinched the league in the first half or so of the season, you don't see those two teams competing with each other, really. But Bayern, you know, Bayern didn't perform, according to the president, Ole Hoiven. He also just said that Manchester United played better in the Champions League than they have been performing in league, so nothing that they could do against it. So, after 27 matches, Bayern Munich clinches the league over 20 points ahead of the second and third place teams. They won 3-1 against Hertha Berlin to clinch it. With goals from Kroos, Götze, and Ribery, they won it for the 24th straight time. So they won 24 straight games in the league and tied 2, lost 0. But the shocker is, last week, they just lost to Augsburg, 1-0. So that begs a question. This team swept the league without question, but after they lost the league, did they deserve it? Because they lost to a relegation team, 1-0. Did they give up? Are they not trying? Are they putting in subs? Are they putting in second team members? What are they doing to make it, you know, so that they lose right after they clinch the title? I personally think they gave up and just said, we won it. Let's use all our youth team. Let's use all our players who don't play. I think that it would be easy to just sweep the rest of the league and go by easily and not worry about the league so much as in international, Champions League, that kind of stuff. So, Diego has been transferred from Wolfsburg in Germany to Atletico Madrid in Spain. So now he went from a losing team in Germany to a winning team in Spain. He went from mid-table in Germany, where Wolfsburg currently sits, to about first place in Spain with Atletico Madrid and the newly converted, if you will, Diego Costa, who is now Spanish. Big news as he finally confirmed that he will be playing for the Reds because he had transferred nationalities from Brazilian to Spanish over the last transfer window. For being, FIFA rules say that you have to spend 5 years in a nation to be eligible for the nationality switch. Diego Costa has been playing in Spain for about 6 or 7 years and finally started to shine, and now he will be wearing a red jersey for the World Cup. So, a local British newspaper had signed Wayne Rooney to the Team of the Week, even though Wayne Rooney didn't play in the game that week. They had several players who are just not even known, per se, who had subpar weeks. Now, this newspaper apologized and said it was a typo when they actually meant to put Suarez and instead put Wayne Rooney. I don't know how you get those two mixed up. They were a little bit of, they're a little bit different. One's in first place in the league and the other is in seventh, not scoring goals. One is on fire scoring all these goals. So, Daniel Sturridge played a prank on the rest of his team. Daniel Sturridge, a striker for Liverpool, has had an amazing season, many goals, many assists, ever since he transferred from Chelsea. Chelsea has not performed well this season, even though they sit at third place. They have not been where they could be, especially with all the young talent like Eden Hazard, Willian, all those guys. They're great guys. They haven't been getting much playing time, and I just think that Chelsea should be a lot better off than they currently are. Daniel Sturridge played on wing for Chelsea, sat on the bench a lot. Eventually, Jose Mourinho said, you know what, let's get rid of this guy. He's not doing anything for us on the bench. So they loan him to Liverpool. And then he takes over. He absolutely destroys the league. Him and Luis Suarez are the deadliest pairing in the Premier League this year. So Chelsea realized that and asked for early return on the loan, to which Daniel Sturridge replied, no, I'm not going back because I'm performing so well. I won't do well on the bench there, but I'll do well on the field here. Lewis Holtby denied by goal line technology, which the Barclays Premier League are trying to get off. They're trying to get rid of goal line technology because of instances like this, where the ball was 99.3% over the line into the goal. But because of goal line technology, 100% of the ball has to be over the goal. Thus, the goal was denied, and the Spurs tied 1-1 when they could have won 1-0. Eden Hazard played a joke in a game with his teammate David Luiz. Both were standing over a free kick, and then Eden Hazard just poked it back to a defender. Well, it looked like David Luiz was about to kick it for a shot. It was a pretty funny moment if anyone caught the Chelsea game. I think that it was a little bit selfish of him, but you know, David Luiz just could, all he could do was stand there and put his hands up and be like, well, what can I do? The play's over now. Bayern Munich have finally made the transfer for Robert Lewandowski. Even though the season is essentially over for Bayern Munich, there's still a fight for second and third with Bayern Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund within 2 points of each other. Within 2 points of each other, they definitely have a chance for second place and a possible chance for a qualifying spot in Europa Champions League. Schalke is not far behind them either, but if it comes down to it, it's definitely Bayern Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund. So, FC Basel won against Valencia in Spain. So, Basel is a Swiss team that play in Switzerland, and they have they just recently made a transfer to Chelsea for Chelsea, and then they come out and they beat Valencia in Spain, where greats like David Villa came from. Jordi Alba came from Spain. David Silva came from Spain. Juan Mata came from Spain. They all came from Valencia, and now they're on these big-name teams like Man City, Manchester United, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona. So that begs the question, is Valencia selling all their good players and then losing all these crucial games that they actually need to win? And why are they doing it? It's confusing to me because all those players are really good players, and had they all been on this team this year, Valencia would be a threat in the Premier League, in La Liga for sure. So we're gonna take a break, but after the break we'll go over some World Cup news, and I'll be back.
Stop!
So, we have some live scores here. We're going to start with the Premier League and their results. So, the first off was Tottenham Hotspur, who I just mentioned, and Sunderland. So, the first goal was in the 17th minute by Lawrence Cattermole. It was a driven shot right into the top left corner. However, it was quickly responded by with Eric Adebayor, who's been bouncing around a lot of teams. I don't know if he'll stay around Tottenham for much longer. He's been at teams like Real Madrid. He's been at Tottenham. He's been all around the Premier League. So, he followed up in the 28th minute with a goal. Then Kane hit one in the 59th, so just after halftime. And then it gets down to crunch time. Christian Eriksen scored in the 78th minute. Then Eric Adebayor got another one in the 86th. And then finally, Geoff Sigurdarson hit one in the 90th. So Tottenham ran over Sunderland. Sunderland in the relegation zone. I don't think they're going to stay in the Premier League. I personally think that they're just going to flop out and probably go back down to League One or League Two. So, Everton played Arsenal 3-0. Stephen Naismith got one. Romelu Lukaku got one. And Coleman got one. So, and then there was a lot of speculation whether who's going to take fourth place. Is it going to be Everton? Is it going to be Arsenal? Nobody knows. Everton hasn't really been... They've been hovering around 6th or 7th place until recently when they got a huge span of winning games. And they came up and finally decided to step it up. And now they're fighting for 4th place. Arsenal, on the other hand, has been in 1st place for probably the first 6/8 of the season. And then all of a sudden dropped down with not that much to go. So they were in 1st. They had the greatest run. But then again, they did have two injuries in their two best form players, Mesut Ozil and Aaron Ramsey, both injured, both out. Is that what got them to stop performing? I don't think it is. I think that it was really just, Arsenal kind of gave up. Everton didn't. Everton's still fighting. And now it's a battle for fourth place. It's a battle for first place in the Premier League. West Ham played Liverpool. So, Steven Gerrard won a penalty in the 44th minute, converted it to make it 1-0, but it was immediately answered by Demel in the 45th right before halftime. But then Steven Gerrard drew a penalty in the 71st minute and converted. Liverpool came out 2-1. Crystal Palace surprised Cardiff City with a 3-0 win. Puchon got two and Joe Ledley got one. So, the thing is that Crystal Palace also got twice as many yellow cards with four throughout the game, including one that were 2 minutes apart. So, it really goes to show, is the more aggressive team the one that's going to come out on top most of the time? In the Premier League, it's looking like it. However, Crystal Palace is still very low on the table and have the potential of getting relegated back to the Champions League, or the Championship. League. Next up is Fulham. Fulham is at the bottom of the table. They have been for the longest time. They're not staying in the Premier League. They just can't do it. They don't have enough points. They don't have enough talent to pull out 3 points for the rest of the season for each of their games. However, they did win 2-1 against Aston Villa. Kieran Richardson got one, and Hector Rodarelyaga got one in the 86th. So, he really pulled a tie into a win, luckily. However, right after that, Lewis Holtby got a yellow. So, there's just a lot of cards going on in the Premier League this year. Finally, Manchester City, who's fighting for first place with Liverpool. Manchester City won 4-1, and they've been running over teams. They have an incredible goal differential. However, they still sit in second place. Yaya Toure converted on a penalty. Samir Nasri got Yaya Toure converted the penalty in the 3rd minute. Samir Nasri got one right before halftime, and then Edin Dzeko got one at halftime. He literally got it right before the whistle blew for halftime. So two 45-minute goals. Steven Jovetic got one in the 81st to really pull away. However, Roger Lampert got one in the 37th. So they didn't get shut out at least. However, they got shut out. So the top goal scorers for the Premier League, Luis Suarez, 29 goals, Daniel Sturridge, 20. So the best ones, the two highest goal scorers are both on Liverpool, Daniel Sturridge didn't get playing time at Chelsea, now goes to Liverpool, and now is the second best goal scorer in the Premier League. Then you got Yaya Toure with 18 goals. So Yaya Toure, who's the third leading scorer in the Premier League, is still over 10 goals behind the leading goal scorer. Luis Suarez really pulled away this year. He has been doing fantastic. Wayne Rooney following up at 15 goals in fourth. And then James Rodriguez from Southampton. A Southampton man is now in fifth place for goals scored. It's amazing because Southampton has been one of those sleeper teams. They've been crawling their way up from League One over the past couple of years and then made it to the Premier League and are sitting comfortably. It's amazing. So now some La Liga news. Atletico Bilbao beat Levante on Saturday, 2-1. Two goals from Andrew Ruiz. But there was an own goal from Miguel San Jose. So essentially, Atletico Bilbao scored three goals. Just one of them wasn't for their own team. David Barbero got a red in the 90th minute after he got a yellow in the 88th minute. So right before the game ended, he received a red or a yellow and then a red. Malaga played Granada, and Malaga was one of those teams that no one really sees coming, and they're just always really passive in their play, and no one really, they don't stand out. They're just one of those teams that don't have those players. However, they got four goals, two from Ignacio Camacho, one from Emirat, and one from Juan Mai. So They really stepped it up. They had Granada had five yellow cards, all within 40 minutes of each other. So they were really aggressive, and it didn't prove victorious for them. Elche played Getafe, just one goal in it, a late minute winner in the 90th by Boake, and he really helped Elche come out because they've been in the relegation zone. People have been wondering if they're going to get sent down to the second league, and he really helped them out, which is good. So Getafe, Elche are really low on the table, and any win for any of those teams is really going to help them pull them up away from the relegation zone. Real Valladolid played Valencia. Valencia's not had a good streak, right? So they've had two games recently and have lost one and then tied one. They lost to the Swiss team, Basel, and then they just tied against Real Valladolid. They just can't perform right now. I don't know if they have a lack of strikers. They certainly don't have a bad goalkeeper. They have two fantastic goalkeepers. So it's obviously not their defense or their goalkeeper. They just can't put them away. Moving on, Sevilla beat Espanyol. Sergio Mbia got one in the 18th minute pretty early on. Then Kevin Gamero got two really quickly following that. I don't think Kevin Gamero is going to make an appearance, but he may make an appearance in the World Cup for the French team. So that I'll be looking forward to that, and I'll keep that updated because it's really unsure about how Benzema is going to perform and whatever other strikers they have. And Kevin Gamero has moved from the greatest clubs in France to the greatest clubs in Spain. So I think he's a really strong chance that he will be in the World Cup for France. And then Ivan Rakitic from Croatia put one away in the 89th minute. Barcelona played Real Betis today. Real Betis in the bottom of the table. Really, you're not... when you're playing one of the best teams in the league against the worst team in the league, you can't expect much from it, but I mean, they really put up a fight, 3-1. So what can you do? Lionel Messi got two. He got one in the 14th and the 86th. And there was an own goal on Jordi Figueiredo. So, and then Ruben Castro put one away, the center attacking mid. He's a young guy, but doesn't really. He really just can't attack the way he could a couple years ago. Not that he's old. He just 2 years ago, he looked a lot better than he does this year. Moving on to Italy. Juventus played Livorno. Fernando Llorente, the recent transfer from Atletico Bilbao, got two within 3 minutes. And that was the final score, 2-0 Juventus. Now, Fernando Llorente is one of the tallest players besides Peter Crouch on active rosters. So he's, if you cross it in anywhere near his vicinity, he will get ahead on it. He will run over people. He will destroy people. He will get it over your head. He will jump over you. He can do whatever he wants. He's 6'4". He will definitely take it in the air against many other defenders, especially in the Italian league. Now, Milan played against Genoa. Now, the only thing that I might have thought would go wrong did go wrong, because Christian Abbiati, the goalkeeper from Milan, got an own goal and a yellow card. Now, that is, and they were in unrelated incidents as well. So that just leads me to believe Milan needs a younger goalkeeper, because Christian Abbiati is he's 38 or 39 now, and he's not even on the Italian national roster anymore. He's way past his prime. Milan need to find someone new, someone young. However, the two scorers for Milan are the two transfers in the most recent transfer deadline, were Adel Taarabt and Katsuki Honda. So they got the transfers are doing well. I don't know why Milan isn't transferring for a goalkeeper, because that's what they need. Now, one of the more exciting games that I actually caught, Roma versus Calgary. Destro got 3 goals. He got a hat trick that game. The goals were simple enough, but he really converted, and it was a really, really good shot. One of them was a really good shot, and then Calgary went and drew a penalty in the 89th minute to keep the clean sheet off, so props to them. Lazio played Sampdoria. Sampdoria, keep in mind, they just got promoted last year, so no one was looking for something special, and, you know, they really haven't produced anything special. They sold their goalkeeper to AS Monaco, the powerhouse, the money, just sold Romero to AS Monaco, and now it's Monaco, and now they're just falling apart. 2 goals, 42nd minute and 73rd minute. Lazio has Miroslav Klose. They have scoring options. Unlike most of these other Italian teams that don't have scoring options, you see a lot of 1-0s and 2-0s. You just can't score in the Italian league, it looks like, recently. Now, Atalanta played Sassuolo, and Sansone got 2 for Sassuolo. So Atalanta has made a really good transfer, picking up Yepes from Milan. However, he just hasn't performed. Atalanta just can't play at this high level. They're barely out of the relegation zone. They're about to fall back into the relegation zone. I just don't see anything good coming out of this. Atalanta, Sassuolo, they are both really dangerously low to the bottom of the table. The only thing that would keep them both away from relegation is some luck. Torino played Catania. Torino, who had, on the flip side, was in the, who had just gotten relegated 2 years ago, has been performing well. They've been stayed around mid to high table. They haven't been relegated, or they're not look like they're going to be any threat to be relegated. And a lot of the thing is that they keep making these transfers when they know that they have players that are injured. So when they see that they're down 1-0 in the second minute, then they make the switches, they take out who they need to take out, they put in the ones who need to go in, and that's what's keeping them alive, and they pull out 2-1. And then our favorite league, the MLS. This was probably one of the most highest scoring weeks I've ever seen. FC Dallas won 4-1 against the Houston Dynamo. Now, ever since the Houston Dynamo and the Earthquakes kind of combined, they had a really strong team, but when the Earthquakes came back, half the Dynamo left. And now the Dynamo is, like, picking up pieces and looking for players, and they just can't pull themselves together. And ever since, you know, they fell apart back in 2008, 2009, they just can't pull it together, and now they're losing 4-1 to Dallas FC out of all teams. And one of the least exciting games this week, which you'd expect would be more exciting, was Sporting Kansas City and Real Salt Lake. Now, both of them had just won the MLS Cup pretty recently. Real Salt Lake had to beat the Galaxy. Sporting KC had to beat the Portland Timbers. It was just a crazy game. No score, but a lot of red cards and yellow cards late on in the game. There was a red card in the 83rd minute and 3 yellow cards in the 75th minute and after that. So, the MLS is getting a lot more exciting. you don't even have to score in the MLS. You just have to make the games fun, from what I gather. The LA Galaxy played Chivas USA. Robbie Keane got his first goal of the season. Gotta love Robbie Keane. He's just one of those old guys that won't quit. He's just one of those guys that will play for the national team until everybody tells him to stop. Just like Shea Given for the Irish national team. Everybody's like, no, keep, you know, scoring goals for us. Or in Shea Given's case, please keep staying in goal for us. So you have the two oldest guys that I've probably ever seen in my life still playing at a high level. So I'm glad to see Robbie Keane is still scoring and keeping up his work rates, and perhaps is going to make an appearance at the next World Cup. So then the New York Red Bulls and Montreal Impact tied 2-2. Felipe Martins got one, Romero got one, and John Steele got one. So New York Red Bulls, not as exciting as they were 2 or 3 years ago. They were really a fun team to watch. They had a lot of good players like Kenny Cooper, Terry Henry. They had Ryan Johnson. You just got all those cool guys that are really fun to watch, and it's exciting, and you want to watch the whole game throughout. And then all of a sudden, the Red Bulls haven't been performing, and now they're tying 2-2 against a team that had just entered the league 2 years ago. It's ridiculous. The Impact really have a good developmental team. But when you had a team that was so strong 1 or 2 years ago that just all of a sudden lost it completely, you can't do anything about it. Now, probably the highest scoring and most exciting game of the weekend, I don't know if you've heard, but the Portland Timbers and the Seattle Sounders played to an exciting 4-4 draw. There were two goals in under 10 minutes. Kenny Cooper got one in the third minute, essentially just off kickoff. Then Portland responded with Chara getting one in the ninth, and then Valera getting one in the 14th. Then Clint Dempsey went off. Clint Dempsey got a hat trick. He got one in the 24th, 85th, and 87th. So Clint Dempsey, the 87th minute goal is a penalty. Clint Dempsey went off. He just wanted to score. He went on fire. Chara got two. Clint Dempsey got three. I mean, it was an exciting game throughout. All the goals were exciting. There was nothing wrong with that game. And I wish all games were like that. So, final game in the MLS was the Chicago Fire versus Philadelphia Union, 2-2. Mike McGee, who had recently transferred, hit one goal in the 16th minute. So, but then shortly after that, in the 32nd, Maurice Adu and Leo Fernandez got one in the 32nd and 39th. But then J.N. Gongo got one in the last 87th minute. So he really pulled it back for the Chicago Fire, especially since the Chicago Fire have been doing fairly well, especially since they haven't really had any star players or had any really big transfers. So, you know, for what they are, the Chicago Fire are doing okay. The Philadelphia Union are not doing so okay, especially with the team with such a good fan base compared to other MLS teams. You'd expect the Philadelphia Union to be a lot better than they would be, but they're not. Champions League, probably the most exciting, where you get to see teams from different countries face each other. That's not a World Cup. It's just exciting. So the first game was Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. Now, the second place team in La Liga versus the second place team in the Bundesliga, you'd expect it to be a lot more even. Wrong. Gareth Bale went off. Cristiano Ronaldo went off. Borussia Dortmund, the only thing they had was a great Marco Reus shot, Casillas saved in a late minute, but it didn't make any difference. They still got ran over. It was a disappointing game. Next was PSG and Chelsea. PSG ran over Chelsea 3-1. Chelsea didn't show up that game. They just couldn't. You have Javier Pastore, and you had players like Cavani and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Chelsea just can't compete with that. Veterans, great, skillful players. They just can't do anything about it. Manchester United played to a 1-1 draw with Bayern Munich. Neither team deserved a win or a loss on that one. They both, from Bayern Munich's point, they played poorly. From Manchester United's point, they played fantastically. They just tied essentially the best team in the world. They just won the treble last year. They dominated the Bundesliga. They're a threat to everyone on the planet. And Bayern Munich, they just tied to Manchester United. So, you know, Fergie would be proud. Barcelona tied Atletico Madrid. Probably didn't take that one too seriously, considering they're going to meet up later in the season anyways for La Liga. 1-1 tie. Messi, you can't go wrong. You know, Messi, the greatest player in the world. Not arguably, it's a fact. He has four Ballon d'Ors, while Cristiano Ronaldo only has two. Wah, wah. Yeah, Barcelona destroys everyone in their wake, unless it becomes to Champions League, because they can't perform in the Champions League. They got destroyed by Bayern Munich 2 years ago. They lost to Chelsea. Messi can't do anything against Chelsea. They can't do anything against Bayern Munich. But when it comes to league, and when it comes to, they just run over everyone. Messi just goes off. Finally, Zenit, with their new manager, Andres Villas-Boas, won against Borussia Dortmund in the next round. Zenit came up 2-1. They had Hulk. Marco Reus finally scored a goal for Dortmund. Hulk just destroys defenses. He literally tears them apart. If he can't get by you, he'll go through you. There's a reason his nickname is Hulk. And then next round, Manchester United destroyed Olympiacos 3-0. That was a game that Manchester United should have expected to win. There was no reason they shouldn't have. It was just an incredible game for everyone. I just think that all players on Manchester United deserved a little bit more playing time that perhaps didn't. Like, Katsuki Honda's always on the bench. Danny Welbeck's only always on the bench. You just got to play. The new manager, David Moyes, has to play some of these players who don't get playing time, especially when you're winning 4-5, 6-0. Like, he pulls Chicharito off the bench instead of playing Shinji Kagawa. So it's really confusing. It really is. When they have such a solid team and they refuse to play all the good players, it baffles me. It really does. So after the break, we're going to go over some more news, some exciting stuff, and I'll see you after the break. I got my hand on the gospel plow. I'm taking nothing for my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Oh, So, I'm going to wrap this up with the United States men's national team. I don't know how many of you watched the game. It was an exciting game. It was a 2-2 game against Mexico. It was exciting. My very own Chris Wondolowski from the Earthquake scored. It was great. It was a great goal. But however, they were winning. They won the first half 2-0. But then after a series of just, like, amazing touching by the Mexicans, like, it was incredible. Like, they were doing touches that Barcelona couldn't do. And then a couple of good shots. And the U.S. just couldn't finish. They just couldn't they just couldn't really come back. And there's a goal that was disallowed from Eddie Johnson that really shouldn't have been. It was a really good goal. It was a great through ball, but it was called offsides. And that really would have put the Americans ahead, and that would have been a good finish to the game. However, it was called back, and then Mexico rallied and put two in the back of the net. So the U.S. has had a really almost disappointing couple of months. They tied 0-0 to Scotland. They lost to Australia 1-0. They barely beat South Korea's B team, and they lost to Ukraine 2-0. You got to think, if the Americans can barely tie a Mexican team of pretty low caliber, in my opinion. They have no one strong. They barely made it in the World Cup with some luck. And then you have these strong Americans like Chris Wondolowski, Clarence Goodson. You got all the keepers, the veteran keepers, Tim Howard. You got Brad Friedel. You got, but they start Nick Raimondo out of all people. I mean, yeah, they were trying out some new people like Julian Green, who did pretty well. He's a Bayern Munich player. The U.S. just really needs to make up their mind. They just need to really put something away. They really got to do something to really put their mark on the World Cup, because as far as the rest of the world is concerned, we might not even make it out of our qualifying group in the World Cup. I mean, we might lose in the round of 32. You can't do that in the World Cup. And Mexico is okay, but really they shouldn't have lost. It was an exciting game, yes, but it was a disappointing game nonetheless. The U.S. could have pulled out so much more than what they did, but it was entertaining at the very least. Of course, the Mexican fans were crazy, you know, supportive, and the Mexican team played really, really well in the second half. They really turned it around, and all props to them. The manager, you know, ahead of the game, the Mexican manager, like, didn't even know if they deserved their place in the World Cup. They don't know if they had to prove anything to the Americans, but, you know, they all played well. There was literally, you know, it was an okay game, especially with the U.S. starting with the 4-4-2 formation. Jurgen Klinsmann, it's worked for him in the past. They played it in the World Cup against Ghana. I mean, you can't lose with a formation like that, especially when during the mid-game they change it to a 4-5-1 and putting an attacking mid and taking away one of the strikers, which would have helped, especially when you have Michael Bradley as the attacking mid, then and you have Clint Dempsey as the forward, and you totally eliminate the forward in the first place, considering Clint Dempsey is more of an attacking mid himself. You eliminated your forward in turn for a center attacking mid, which means you also eliminated your, you know, whole scoring option. So hopefully the U.S. can sort it out in time for the World Cup, because they have a long way ahead. The last time they even beat Portugal was in the World Cup in 1994, which was hosted in America. So it's going to be tough for the U.S. national team if they keep playing like they're playing. But I really look forward to some changes for the U.S. national team, especially when you have these young guys like Kyle Beckerman in the midfield, Chris Wondolowski up top, Julian Green in the defense or midfield. I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann has a lot to work with, and I really hope he steps it up in time for the World Cup. And then finally, some games to look out for. We got the quarterfinals for the Champions League. We have Borussia Dortmund versus Real Madrid tomorrow. We should definitely watch out for that one. And then Chelsea and PSG tomorrow at 2:45 Eastern time. So two exciting games. And then in the semifinal from the CONCACAF Champions League, you got Toluca versus Alajuelense. So Toluca beat the Earthquakes in the closest series of games I've ever seen in my life that I've actually been to. It was crazy. Toluca came to San Jose, and it was a concerning game, to say the least. It was really suspenseful. There were a lot of fans from both teams there. It was sold. It was just an amazing, amazing game. And then the Earthquakes went down to Mexico and lost in penalties. And it was an exciting place. Either team could have deserved their spot in the semifinal. Toluca got it, but that's on tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So those are just some games to watch out for. This has been DJ Riles. This has been Kicking It. I will see you next Monday from 8 to 10.